Today's first reading is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. And this can be found on page 970 of the Church Bibles. Sorry, 971. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The second reading is James 4, verses 13 to 17. And this can be found on page 1215 of the Church Bibles. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them.
Alex, shall we just pray a moment? Lord God, we thank you for this time together and in your presence. We pray that as we gather, that you will speak to us, that we would discern what it is you're saying to each one of us, and you'd show us how to put it into practice in our lives. Amen. I wonder how you make decisions in your life. Big decisions, little decisions. Are you one of those people who likes to have everything kind of mapped out and sorted out and in advance and planned out, and then you just go through and follow the plan? Or maybe you're one of those who prefers just take it as it goes, you know, just surf the wave as it comes and see where it takes you. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, I know someone just like that, one or the other. I wonder what motivates us in our decision making as well. I wonder whether we're ever kind of motivated by the fact we just haven't got time to do anything else. Or whether there's something deeper, whether there's fears or failures or hopes or dreams. I wonder if you're one of those who's always looking for the latest thing, the latest new idea, the latest gadget, whatever it happens to be. Or whether you're one of those who would prefer to stick safely in the rut. James says in that reading that Alex has just read for us, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." To some of us, those words will feel kind of welcome. Well, it's condemning all these people who have these great plans, who like it all sorted out. What's the point? And especially those who depend on financial security. But we need to be a bit careful, because he's also not licensing us to be lazy or just do what we want when we feel like it. He says later, "If anyone then knows the good they ought to do but doesn't do it, it's sin for them." I wonder how often we think about sin in those terms. Not just about the things that we do that we know we shouldn't, plenty of those, but also there's things that we should do that we're not doing. And James is saying that's sin too, and it's not just James, it's there throughout the Bible. So how are we to make decisions? Are we meant to be the planners, or are we meant to be the last minuters? What is it? You know, what's the Bible saying? Well, James says this. He says, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. I know someone we saw recently, our old Baptist minister, when we lived in South Wales. And he used to quite often, after things, say, well, we're doing this or that. And then he'd say, God willing. And I don't know, you might know people like that. And you sort of think, oh, sounds a bit fatalistic in some ways, doesn't it? You know, we'll go to the shop, God willing. You know, you're thinking, well, what's going to happen? Is it going to be some great lightning bolt on the way there? Or is there a chasm going to open up? Or, you know, I mean, it's not that terrifying, is it? You know, but there are people, it can become a habit. But he was good. He would say it genuinely meaning it. You know, God willing, my life is in God's hands. If God wills this or that, I'll do this or that. And if he doesn't, so be it. But I wonder how many of us live life like that. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. So what can we do about it? How can we live life in the way that James wants us to live? And that's what I want to look at a bit this morning. But I particularly, not saying I'm an expert, I want to look at it and explore what it says so that each one of us can look at this and apply it to our lives. And in particular, this aspect of time. How do we spend our time? How should we spend our time? And I've got a little poem here. This is a poem written by a chap called Godfrey Rust. And it's a great little piece about time. It goes like this. They've lied to you about time. We do not have time on our hands. Only the scars left by our grasping at the unscalable cliffs. Time is not up, nor on our side. It moves away from us into the unknowable future and the unredeemable past. Time is not short. It's as long as memory. Time is not money. We cannot save time, only spend it differently. And time is not running out. We have too much of it. Our doctors know that too much time kills us all in the end. Tomorrow always comes. It's about time somebody did something about time. There's a lot of truth in that, isn't there? And it's a modern problem. Or is it? The length of our days is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. From the oldest psalm, probably the oldest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 90, attributed to Moses. We might think, oh, life must have been so less stressful then. Well, have a read of Exodus. I'm not sure it was really for Moses and his crowd. How we use our time has always been a problem, has always caused us grief. Although it does seem to be more so these days in some respects. In the West, you could say it's almost as if we're cash rich and time poor. Sometimes I wonder whether our time, it feels, maybe you feel like this. A bit like a bag, any excuse to bring chocolate into church. It feels a bit like time is like a bag of Maltesers. Just keeps running away from us. It doesn't stop. You can't get hold of it. But you see, unlike money, as the poem said, we have the same amount as everyone else in a day, or in a week, or in a month. Yes, some of us have longer on this planet than others. But in terms of the time that you or I have today, or in the next month, it's the same, isn't it? It doesn't matter if you're Donald Trump. Oh dear, forgive the reference. It's going so well. Doesn't matter if you're a president of the United States or if you're an Ethiopian farmer trying to make ends meet. We've each got the same amount of hours in a day. We've got the same amount of minutes in a month. And maybe the problem is less like a bag of Maltesers, and our problem is actually more like a packet of Rolos. Some of you might have seen me use this illustration before, but I think it kind of works. Actually, quiz question. Does anyone know when Rolos were invented? Very good, Judith Moore. There's the team to be on. That's a fun quiz. 1938, just before the Second World War. Yeah. I only know that because it's my birthday yesterday and my sister gave me a book of trivia and it happened to have the date that Rolos. I just opened it up at this page, which is kind of relevant today because I'd already bought these as my illustration. Our time is actually more like a packet of Rolos. Can you remember the adverts for Rolos? Maybe they still exist. What were the adverts about? Do you love anyone enough to give your last Rolo to? Who will get the last Rolo? And you see, if our time is like a packet of Rolos, there's the same number in each. Nestle, it seems, make them these. I think these, were they round trees once upon a time? Am I right? Dreaming from years ago. Nestle now. And Nestle put in their packets of Rolos, the same number as far as I can work out, in every tube. You don't get 33% more in your packet of Rolos if it's standard packet of Rolos. We've all got the same amount. And it's the same with the time in the day or in the month or whatever. The question is, how do we spend it? Because there's so many demands on a time, aren't there? Deadlines, school pick-up time, end of the financial year, exam marking, budgets, meetings, that pile of emails in the inbox, appointments to get to, the in-laws arriving, the football starting, the rugby finishing. And so many risks. What if I don't have that? I'd better do this. What if I fail? What if I miss out on that? What will they think? So many voices. Chocolate analogy. So many whispers. The voice of the boss asking you to do just that few more hours to meet her targets. The voice of a friend ringing for a chat. The voice of someone doing a survey who just needs a few moments of your time. Bless them. Maybe you're one of those who rings up and does the surveys. The voice of the advertiser urging you to go and buy while stocks last, or on Black Friday, or before Black Friday, or after Black Friday, or whatever else they invent. The voice of magazine, newspaper editors grabbing your attention. The voice of a neighbour saying, oh, go on, it won't take long, please. The voice is inside. The desire to please others, to feel needed, to be a success, to be loved, to be admired. To sleep. And suddenly, we're down to the last rollo. And what about that friend who's asking questions about faith? What about the children or grandchildren tugging at your arm? What about the time to listen for that still small voice of God? If time is a packet of Rolos, who will you give that last Rolo to? Or have you already spent it? I don't know about you, but for me, that's often how it feels. Not about all the rest of it. Who's going to get the last one? And with all that, how can the writer to Proverbs write, when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Sorry for another pun there. And what I'd like to suggest this morning is something quite simple. Is that the answer starts always with God. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. And James says, if it is the Lord's will, that creator God who is beyond time, if it's that God's will, I will live and do this or that. That's what we're to say. You see, the thing is, God gives us the whole packet of Rolos. That's where the time comes from, isn't it? He's given us our time. If we believe in a creator God, it's God that's given us it all in the first place. And I don't know if you've ever given a child a packet of sweets. Hands up if you've ever given a child a packet of sweets. Your child or a grandchild or another child, whatever. And they take that packet of sweets. And then you say, could I have a packet, one of your sweets? And what do they say? No, they're mine. But don't we do it with God? He's given us the time. No, it's mine. And maybe if we're lucky, he might get the last Rolo. Two things. One, the time comes from God. He's the giver. He's the author, the creator. He gives us the time we have. And in his grace, he allows us to choose how we spend it. But I'd also like to suggest that we start by giving God the first Rolo, not waiting till the last one. And maybe if we gave God the first Rolo, the first bit of time, that we carve that out and say, no, above all else, God, I'm going to give you this time. I'm going to give time to listen to you, to get to know you better, and to also spend that time asking him how we should spend the rest. What should our priorities be? Because if he's given us the time, if he's really the creator of everything, surely he knows best. So wouldn't it be a great idea to start with him, to ask him how we should spend the rest? But that takes effort. Well, it certainly does for me anyway. And I often fail. But it doesn't make it wrong to go back and start trying again. How can we give God that first bit of time more often? Maybe it's setting aside those daily times in our routine. Maybe it's before we make decisions, stopping and saying, God, what do you want me to do? And no, he might not tell us which pair of socks to put on or what every detail. It does also say in Proverbs, that same passage I just quoted in Proverbs 3, the next bit says, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Don't let them out your sight. You know, knowing when to say yes and no. We're to use the common sense he's given us. But fundamentally, starting with God. First Rolo, give him some time, listen and ask, how should we use the rest of it? Proverbs also talks about someone it describes as the sluggard. I just love that word. But it's so bad, isn't it? The person, the one who's lazy. I don't see many people, lazy people around today. There probably are some. But I think what we can be is selective sluggards. We can be very diligent in one area and not bother about another. And what then happens is a whole load of Rolos, a whole load of our time goes to something which really shouldn't have our time. So there's a discipline which goes with all this. Giving God that first bit of time, but also looking, asking, which bits of our time are getting eaten up by other things. The problem is 9 out of 10 areas of our lives is no good in this. Because it's the 10th one that gets squeezed out. The father who sets a sales record at work has a 4 handicap on the golf course, but isn't there to give out to the emotional needs of the children or his wife. The mother who gives everything to making sure that the house and the home is perfectly spotless, but continually neglects her relationship with God. The person who sets very strict boundaries on serving others, but always finds an extra hour just to do a bit more research into something they want to buy. Who is it who keeps missing out on the Rolo that's rightly theirs? I want to finish by just reminding all of us of someone who really didn't have so much time in terms of their time on the planet. Someone whose life was cut short brutally. Someone who did pretty much all of the ministry that we read about, the serving, that just means serving, that we read about in 3 years. And yet somebody who came to save the world. Someone who came to give their life for us. Someone who came to establish a church, a movement that would be growing and growing and growing forever. Someone who couldn't even choose to speed up the M6 to save up a bit of lost time. And yet, someone who said, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Jesus Christ showed us the way. He took the time, whether it was at night or early in the morning or at different times, he took time to be with God. And he always remembered that all the time he had came from God and committed that time to serving him. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Got a little video which we're going to watch now, and I just invite you to use this bit of time, it's quite slow deliberately, this bit of time to just ask God, how is it he wants you to use your time? It's just a few verses from Psalm 90 and from that passage in James. Lord, we thank you for the time that you've given us. Help us to use it as you want us to. Amen.